good people who have traveled from villages near and far. Lend me your ears.
Hello? Hello? Anybody home?
What's up, Miss Tasty?
What's up, what's up?
Hi there, nice to see you. Bumblebee Tuna? Bumblebee Tuna!
Hello, West Mantooth. Hello, Evening News Team.
You are now listening to another edition of the Nothing But Real Reviews and More podcast.
Welcome to the Goody Room.
But their ability to open is f***ing heroic.
And now, with your permission, I'm going to do my stuff.
What are you going to do?
I'm going to do the best I can.
All right, welcome in, everybody. This is another edition of the Movie Review Crew. I'm your host, Mike Lucas, and joining me is Aaron Cronican.
Hello.
Shane Cronican.
How's it going?
And Steve Rushlaw.
How you doing?
Guys, we have an excellent episode on today's show, the Movie Review Crew. We're going to be doing The Verdict today. It's a Raoul Newman.
God damn.
Backfilling in everything I just said before the show started. And this is a fun fact for everyone listening at home as well. If Paul Newman were to change the first letter of his name to an R, it would be Raoul.
That's a fun fact for any listener that can't figure out the alphabet on their own.
And you have to follow that fact with the exploding head emoji.
Yep.
Because you just blew some minds.
Exactly. Dude, I honestly never noticed that before, though. Like, it all. What? That Raoul and Paul. Because they don't sound the same. I don't say Paul.
You would if you were not American.
Okay, first of all, I don't think nationality has anything to do with it. I think it's just the way that they
speak. Remember, do you remember the Hispanic lady in Cop Out? She kept calling him Paul.
No, I remember so little about that movie.
It's such a good movie, though, man.
Hey, Mike, do you remember anything about a Sean William Scott movie?
Wow.
What?
Of all the people you
put any movie of his.
Even if he's the starring role, nobody calls them Sean William Scott movies.
That's
they call
my point.
Garbage.
That's my point.
Well, our point is that's a great movie and you're wrong.
No, it's not.
I'm just saying,
no, amazing.
I'm just perfect. Saying Cop Out is better than 22 and 21 Jump Street.
That's so
I'll go there.
Dumb.
I'll buy that for $1.
Wrong. Oh my God. Do we want to look at the Rotten Tomatoes scores right now?
No, because those don't matter. Our opinions are fact. No. End of story.
Is Cop Out less than like 20%?
It's probably close to that. It's not great.
Ah, it is.
Yeah.
It's at 19%.
Yeah. Is it really?
19%.
Oh, yeah. That movie got just destroyed.
It's a terrible movie.
It's not that bad.
It is.
It's not that bad. Now listen, I'm with Mike. I think 22 Jump Street's a funnier movie.
21 and 22, infinitely better.
Yeah. No,
I laughed more during Cop Out than I did in either of the Jump Street movies.
Listen, your sense of humor, I don't know how to put this lightly.
It's that of an old man who
yes,
might be
it's
dead.
Dog do. It's just, I don't, your sense of humor just baffles me sometimes. Anyway,
listen,
that's not
the
point.
The Tracy Morgan homage scene is
okay. That, you're right.
Just gold.
It has one good scene. Congratulations.
No.
Yeah.
The whole back of we've already reviewed that movie. You're wrong. Moving on.
And you can find the full review on moviereviewcrew.com/cop-out/full-review.
I don't think that's
.html.
That's the website.
Yep. Oh, anyway, we have The Verdict. And actually, this is a fun fact. I saw this in the trivia section on The Verdict. Sean William Scott actually...
No, you didn't see this.
He auditioned to play Paul Newman's role.
Who would you rather have seen in this role? Paul Newman or Sean William Scott?
Yeah, come on. Say
I'm thinking Sean William Scott would have brought some life to this movie. All I'm saying...
Let's see. Sean William Scott was born in 76. He would have been all of 6 years old at the time of this
like
release.
Yeah, like a Doogie Howser type character. Yeah. Like a boy wonder lawyer.
6-year-old Sean William Scott as a boozy, hard luck, burnt out lawyer.
I can see it. I can see it.
My client is not guilty.
A, because he was Canadian. A.
Oh my God.
So wait, is Sean William Scott Canadian?
Yes, no.
Wait, isn't he? It says right here he was born in Minnesota.
I thought he was Canadian. That's
basically America. Might as well Canada. Be Canada.
That's You're the right. capital of Canada, yeah, basically. True. Yeah. We've talked about this a dozen times already. Okay. So anyway, we have a review of The Verdict on today's show. It's a Paul Newman film. And from what I'm hearing already, I didn't watch it this go around, so I'm going to let you guys do the review later on. But from what I'm hearing is it's not a great movie.
Stop. This is a rock solid movie.
No, yeah, I was being facetious. Now, I would not strongly argue with anybody that called it boring.
Okay.
But that's not to say
what Shane's trying to say is that most of the people, the mouth breather, booger eating people that like Marvel movies,
not what I was saying,
that like Marvel movies would probably find this boring.
No, I was saying that
I like boring. Marvel movies.
This, Mike, this is definitely a character driven.
See, okay,
actor.
I have no problems with character driven and slow burn films. It's a character
study. That's exactly what it is. Yeah.
But if those movies happen to be boring as hell, that's not my fault, and they will get graded accordingly.
Yeah, listen, I probably wouldn't argue either. If somebody said, that wasn't my thing, that was boring. That's fine. But the fact that you get to see an Academy Award nominated and Academy Award worthy performance from, in my opinion, one of the best to ever do it, that's worth watching right there.
And,
plus,
and
it's a good
one
enough
of the
story.
Best directors to ever do it. And I mean,
directors, screenwriters. I mean, it's all around. There's just talent, which is what makes this worth watching.
Also, Mike, can you help me out and pronounce that cinematographer's name, please?
I gotta find it. Give me one second. Hang on.
As always.
No, I have it pulled up. I'm sorry. I had it pulled up, but it doesn't have it. So I got to scroll down past the cast, past the produced by, past the music by. Oh, here we go.
Oh, good luck.
Oh, dude, that's Andre Z. EJ. Bart Kowiak.
What kind of dude just throws a Z in the middle of his name?
And I was going to say
it's probably just pronounced Andre Barkoviak. Yeah. I assume the W is pronounced as a V.
No, Andre Z. He's a rapper. He was a rapper in the early 80s, obviously.
That explains. Uh-huh. Here's a for real fun fact. This man, who was a cinematographer on this movie and some other great movies, director of photography on Speed, this is the man that went into directing and directed not one, not two, three movies starring DMX. To the Grave.
He did Exit Wounds.
Romeo Must Die and Exit Wounds. Listen, you ask me, you ask a normal person, they'll be like, man, he can't direct. You ask me, I'm like, yeah, that dude's the bee's knees.
All right, hold on. I'm 100%. I never even looked this up. He went from The Verdict, a slow-paced Academy Award winner, to direct, like you just said, three movies starring a rapper, so that's crap. The Doom. 2005 Doom movie.
Oh, bad stuff.
Street Fighter.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, this what first is this guy doing?
Of all, he was a cinematographer who went to being a director. They're two very different roles. Just because he knows how to handle a camera and framing and lighting and stuff doesn't mean he knows how to make a crew work.
He did Speed, but he also did U.S. Marshals, but neither of those movies are anything like.
Fair.
Exit Wounds, Cradle of the Grave, Doom, any of those. So usually you would see like a transition. Stuff.
Doom was trash, but you're not going to convince me Exit Wounds is not a great action movie and Steven Seagal's best.
We should also mention his most glowing accomplishment among all of what we've already mentioned was that he was the cinematographer on the classic Schwarzenegger DeVito twins movie.
Yeah.
That's true. I missed that one.
Andre Z, my guy.
Yep. Gracie, better known known in the streets as EJ.
Yep. Obviously. So, as I know, I did not hate the Doom movie in 2005.
Well, you're wrong.
I mean,
re-watched
it.
I didn't either, but I rewatched it, and I was wrong.
It's See, bad. That's also kind of what I'm worried about.
Yeah, it's bad because I remember, know. Like, I'll go rewatch that. That when I, you know, young me thought that was the that was cool as hell. Nope.
I'd See, probably still like it.
I thought it was good up until the weird. Everybody knows the weird scenes.
Mutant
at the end,
fight scene at
where,
the end.
Yeah, where he's like first person.
Oh no, that was fine. I was talking about when they're both like super soldiers fighting each other.
Oh, I don't.
It was all bad. It was all bad.
Interesting. Yeah.
Carl Urban's all bad because Rosamund Pike's in it.
And Carl Urban.
Still all bad.
You did, Rosamund Pike actually auditioned for the role of Paul Newman.
She's going to pull it off. Let's be honest. Yeah. She's damn
that,
good.
That talented. That talented. Okay. Let's move on into out of this Idiocracy and into something fun. Have you guys seen anything new lately?
Nothing new, but
anything new to us?
Well, I sat down with my son and watched the original.
You
the original Space Jam because I felt like it was time. And then we kept seeing the ads for the second one, and he kept trying to want to watch that, and we still haven't. I think I'm going to get sucked into it though.
I want to see it, but.
Well, here's the thing. The original was good and short. This number two stars LeBron, so I just don't care or want to see it. And it's 2 hours long for a kid's movie?
Holy cow, that's a long movie.
Yeah, ridiculous.
And it's not gotten good reviews.
I've heard it's got terrible reviews, mostly because they're just like, they throw a bunch of stuff into the... Who owns
WB
this?
Product placement.
Yeah, like, hey, here's the Iron Giant, and then everybody else was in WB.
Interesting. I saw this. This is a little segue that reminded me of it. I saw this TikTok, and I was like, what's the most blatant product placement you've ever seen in a TV show? And it cut to 30 Rock, and it was Liz Lemon. She was like, we're not going to use our TV show to sell products. We're not going to shamelessly promote something like Snapple, even though it is delicious. And
See, that's taking a book out of Wayne's World, a page out of Wayne's World's book, though. They did that first. That was hilarious.
Yeah
that's Tropic Thunder stuff.
Yeah, dude.
Good thing I got this booty sweat back in tonight.
Well, don't you remember the Pepsi and Doritos part of Wayne's World?
No, I don't remember.
They're having a conversation about selling out, and he's like, we're not selling out, and like cracking open a pet. Like, that's look it up. That was the original scene to do
that's
that.
That's funny.
And it was hilarious.
Fun fact, do you guys know that Bruce Willis was in The Verdict?
Yeah, Shane said that in the text.
Oh, yeah.
As an uncredited courtroom audience member.
I must have missed that.
Did you also know that sitting two people away from him was Tobin Bell, the guy that played the Jigsaw murder?
I must have
missed like that. The best extra cast ever.
Oh,
okay. Like weird curly-haired Bruce Willis sitting behind Paul Newman.
He had curly hair?
It was
he had hair?
Yeah.
What else have you guys seen? So not the new Space Jam.
Yeah, not yet. Just other kids' movies, honestly.
God, do you watch anything?
The Dune trailer.
Do you watch
50 times
other than kids' movies, though?
Listen, my wife's pregnant. She falls asleep like 2 minutes after my son's in bed. She's asleep, so I can't watch.
Time to watch whatever the hell you want.
Well, I don't know.
I do. You're alone.
Well, but then it's like, well, then I got to rewatch it because she wanted to watch it.
No, you don't tell her.
We're
too
busy
bad,
people.
So sad.
What'd you do last night? Not watched any movies without you. I have definitely not seen that.
It's called lying.
Yes.
Well, I do. I did get tickets. I'm going to return to theaters. We'll see what that's like for the first time in a year and a half for The Green Knight, which comes out this upcoming Friday.
What's that one about?
The Green Knight, Sir Gawain.
It's about the Onion Knight.
Yeah. No, it's an A24 movie about knights. What's not to like?
It's a medieval tale.
I mean, A24 has some stinkers.
I showed the trailer to my wife, and she goes, "Wow, that's definitely an Aaron movie."
Yeah, she's funny.
She ain't wrong because I got tickets. So
I have seen and I think Steve said he saw it. A Quiet Place 2. I watched. That
oh yeah, one. Yeah.
Yep.
Told and about it. It's like A Quiet Place 1. All same strengths, same weaknesses. The direction. I think Krasinski's an amazing director. Just the way he plans shots and entire scenes and just ratchets up the tension. I think it's very, very good. The acting is incredible across the board again. But the writing is just, it's much like Spooky. The first one. There's some plot convenience. Like they want the plot to progress a specific way. So they make things happen to make that happen instead of it feeling natural. It's like, well, okay, that wouldn't happen, but I see why you made it happen. I kind of similar to the first one.
God, that first one drives me nuts.
And it's a weakness. A couple times in number two, it's a glaring weakness. There were some where whether you groan, laugh, just roll your eyes. There was a couple. It's like, okay.
The whole premise of the first one was like that. Like, oh, 1 year later or over a year later, then she's pregnant. It's like, how dumb are these people?
See, that doesn't bother me. That I can see happening. It's when the characters make decisions that they have no business making.
Sticking straight up out of the middle of a stairway, which there would never in any instance be any nails in that area.
Yeah, because you remember the pole that's below it.
Yeah.
Dumb movie.
But no, I think it was very good. It was very effective, similar to the first one. It was incredibly directed and acted, but just the same weaknesses. But if you like the first one, you like the second. I enjoyed the first one despite those flaws. I enjoyed the second one despite those flaws.
Yeah, I also watched it last night and today. I have to agree with Shane. It's a good movie. And similar to the first one, it's roughly an hour and a half long, so it's not that long. I think if he went any farther, hour 45, 2 hours, you'd start getting into the too long, but at an hour and a half, it's not that bad of a movie.
And it's got some great actors doing their thing.
Yeah, but like Shane said, there's a lot of plot devices to keep it rolling and get it to where they need it to be. Enough to the point where one of our friends, Dudley, had to text us and like ask about it.
Yeah, he was texting me about he's like, I got some questions, and he's asking me these questions. I'm like, there's no real answer here, Dudley, other than bad / lazy writing. I mean, that's unfortunately the only answer as to why they do the things they do.
I assume it's the same writers, isn't what's his name?
One of the main writer with a couple others. Yes.
God, yeah.
But I mean, kudos to him though. The directing is again amazing, really, really good.
And it's on Paramount Plus, so if you have that subscription, which it's only $5.99, definitely go check it out. It's only
I would recommend it still, especially if you like the first one.
I think I speak for probably a lot of our demographic, like a lot of our audience, when I say, who the hell has Paramount Plus?
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. What the
hell? Yeah, right. So CBS All Access turned into Paramount Plus, which then added in like all the old Nick shows, all MTV, all these like spikes. So it has
basically
like,
anything on CBS is now on Paramount plus all the Paramount stuff.
Interesting. So
it has
for $6, I get five networks, which is actually probably one of the better deals. Not sponsored by Paramount plus.
Yeah, but it's CBS. Like, what do they have? Nothing.
The Amazing Race.
Star Trek.
Oh my god. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Thanks for supporting my point. Thanks.
Survivor.
Survivor.
Oh god.
I mean, that's why I have Paramount Plus. per Survivor. My wife, Survivor. So
I was actually just being facetious. I didn't actually know that was on that.
And yeah, now I feel horrible.
No, no, no.
iCarly's on there.
Oh, game over.
We have a winner.
Yep. Why didn't you say less? Let's
start with that.
I'm pretty sure it's the new, I don't know if it's the old stuff, but they brought iCarly back. So that's like the new series.
Yeah, I heard it's actually pretty good.
And they also, Paramount Plus, they're bringing back Are You Afraid of the Dark?
Oh.
And Yellowstone. That would be the selling point for me. Yellowstone, yes. On Paramount Plus.
Interesting. Okay, let's kind of keep this moving. Have you guys seen anything else lately? Who's going? Is it Steve or is it Shane?
One more that I saw. My wife and I recently went to see M. Night Shyamalan's new movie, Old.
Oh yeah,
and it was fine. Yeah. It was a middle of the road Shyamalan movie. It's not just like gratingly horrible, like some of his stuff, like offensively horrible, like some of his stuff is.
Yeah,
but it's not great. It's a fine movie. It with an interesting enough mystery to keep you hooked until the end to figure out what's going on. Some of the acting is not great.
Well, I'm looking at the cast now. There's not a single Alex Wolff, maybe.
Right.
There's not a single actor in here that would draw me in. Like, okay.
No, there's not.
I get it. It's M. Night Shyamalan. He probably has trouble getting people to voluntarily partake in one of his movies.
And it's not about the cast. It's the movie is about the mystery, and that's done well. So it's a success in that regard. It's filmed very well, like you would expect in an M. Night Shyamalan movie. I still stand by that, even in his crap movies, the filming, the direction and camera work and filming is very good. So he does a good job there. There are some really, like one or two just silly moments. And it's just, you know, similar to A Quiet Place where you just kind of chuckle, unintentionally funny or groan or whatever, but It's fine. I wouldn't say it's worth a theater visit, but it might, if it hits Redbox or whatever, it's worth a couple dollar rental.
Okay. Has anyone seen Fast and Furious 9 yet?
Oh yeah, I saw that one too.
Are you kidding me?
Jesus. No, I went to theaters to see it. Oh, boy.
Yeah, okay, yeah, that's all you need to say.
That's my review. Oh my God.
Is it that stupid?
It has become the joke that everyone has been making it. Like
it has any been joke, that.
No, this takes it to the HNL, the whole nother level.
That's not how you spell that. It's, even I know that.
I mean, I'm. This is a little bit of a spoiler, but no one cares because it's Fast and Furious. The joke has always been they're going to space. They go to space, guys. I'm not being funny. It has become the absolute joke that it has always towed that line to be like, funny enough
this is
to be
too
fun,
stupid.
But
yeah,
but it goes overboard. It's new writers, so I think that has a lot to do with it. They're trying to toe the line, but they miss the mark and go way over. It's something to behold. I dare you to watch it. Really, I dare you.
Let me look through the franchise. I don't think I've seen one since like 6.
No,
I've
you saw
that, the bank vault one that you guys forced me to watch for this podcast.
No, hold on. What was the one that Paul Walker died during?
Seven? Was it six? Yes, yeah, I don't remember. It might have been 7, actually, now that you say that. I think it was 7.
So I think I've seen through 7, and that's it.
You've seen all of those?
Yes, Aaron. It's not that 7. Weird of a statement.
Yeah, yeah, him and like billions of people Sean. Around the world.
Yes.
Oh my God.
They're very popular. But
I get The Quiet Place. I get all these where people are like, yeah, I like these movies. Fast and Furious. I kind of if you say you like it, I lose a little bit of respect for you because come on.
Did I once say I like it?
But you keep watching them.
I haven't seen one for 6 years. It came out in 2015. What do you want from me? I skipped all of the side plots, Aaron.
The other takeaway. So the Fast and Furious franchise for me has been 1 through 4. The Rock came in, awesome. Statham came in, even better. Now they're both gone. It's back to like they were sorely missed. I'll put it that way. They were. It lacked what they brought to the table because it's like the rest of the cast, like, whatever. You're not the friggin' Rock and Jason Statham. So I did miss them. It was fine. It was bonkers and crazy and stupid as hell, but it was fun.
You said that about Cena.
Oh yeah, Cena's a bum. I don't like John Cena.
I love John Cena. I hope all of the success for him. He's such a cool guy.
I just don't. He doesn't have that it factor that
sure
some of those guys do to me. He's just boring to me.
Actually, you want to hear something funny? I think I might have skipped 6. I'm looking through these. I don't remember half of these movies.
I mean, that's pretty much what it's supposed to be. Just remember
just
that.
They're just 2 hours of bonkers entertainment, and you're
just
done.
Remember it's all about family.
Yes.
Yeah, Jesus Christ.
And they say that about 48 times. I mean, it's become the memes that people make about it. It's like the writers took cues from the audience and let them write the movie.
That's so
what is stupid. Kurt Russell doing in here?
He wasn't in it anymore. He was Mr. Nobody.
Yeah.
He's listed as in the cast for F9.
Yeah, he has like a little, he shows up on like cameo. A video recording type of deal. He's not like in this one.
Also, the full title is F9, The Fast Saga.
Yeah.
That's idiotic.
Yeah, but it's the saga.
They're doing 10, right?
Yes.
I mean, they'll keep going until they're done.
I think there's plans to do up to 12 so far.
Oh my God. Did you see that meme where it's like, if they don't call the 10th one Fast 10 Your Seatbelt, I'm not watching it?
Yes. See, I'm telling you, they just let the audience write it.
What do you got? So, you're complaining and you're giving us gold.
Yeah. To change away, it's been a while since I've been on the podcast.
Yeah.
I did watch the Amazon movie Tomorrow War.
Oh, yeah.
I know Aaron doesn't like Chris Pratt. It's not bad. It's an interesting concept. Chris Pratt, he doesn't play his Star-Lord character in this movie, which surprised me a lot because he's kind of done that a lot lately. And J.K. Simmons is in it for maybe 5-10 minutes, and the man is just gold. Everything he does.
He's great.
Yeah.
I didn't mean to cut you off, but is Chris Pratt to that point to you guys where he needs to adapt or die kind of deal? Like, not die, but
stop getting roles.
Right. Like, I mean, because I think he's got the talent. I do. I like Chris Pratt. He's a likable person, but he's reaching that point to me where it's like a Ryan Reynolds point where it's like you got to do something different. You could continue to be successful, obviously. But
when he first came along, he wasn't bad.
You got to do something different. You got to evolve because you can't just do the same stuff.
I agree. I think he's just being Star-Lord now. It's just the same character in every movie. When he first came along, he didn't do that. And as soon as Star-Lord or Guardians of the Galaxy came around, it was like, oh, I'll just be this guy the whole time.
It's probably not his fault either. He's typecast because that was so successful and people love it. Same with Ryan Reynolds. I don't blame him. I don't hate him for it. It's just one of those like you don't interest me anymore.
Didn't he try playing a different character in like Passengers?
That one I haven't seen, so I don't know about that. I totally forgot about that movie.
I mean, I guess that was like 4 years ago now. But Steve, you said this one he breaks away from his typical Star-Lordiness.
Yeah, he tries to be more of a serious character, aren't military guy in this. So it's not necessarily that quirky Star-Lord guy. It's somebody he's trying to be serious. So
gotcha. That's not good to hear because I do like him, and I hope that he evolves as an actor.
Yeah. Yeah. Steve, have you seen anything else?
No, that's it. I've been trying to fix up my house, so I've been a little busy with
watching movies.
And I didn't have power for
Yeah. I feel that. If Laura and I were to watch a movie this week, aside from a podcast movie side, any suggestions?
None that you'd like.
Okay.
I can just send you Scott Adkins' filmography if you'd like.
Okay. Anyone else have aside from Shane?
I did just recently purchase and will be watching News of the World. So hopefully that's.
I second that. Enough. That's great. A real one, a legitimate one. I think I sent it in the group text a while back. I don't know if you watched it yet. On HBO Max is Let Him Go. That's a great, great movie with Kevin Costner.
Oh, Costner, yeah.
Let Him Go?
Yes.
Very As in like Costner, one. Just let him go. Let him go away.
Don't you dare.
He's like a fine wine.
Mm-hmm. All these movies look. Yeah. I don't like Kevin Costner.
What the hell? All
right. Moving on. Anything else that we want to talk about before we get into?
No, let's jump into it.
The verdict? Okay. So the verdict from 1982 rated R, 2 hours and 9 minutes long. A lawyer sees a chance to salvage his career and self-respect by taking a medical malpractice case to trial rather than settling. Directed by Sidney Lumet, written by the screenplay by David Mamet, that doesn't matter, and Barry Reed, based on the novel. Okay, I should just stop doing the writers because I have no idea ever.
David Mamet, he is well known
and well respected. To me, I think he's hit or miss, but he's well respected, so he's a big name as far as writers.
Okay, well, I'm looking through his filmography. Nope, don't recognize anything.
Just nothing.
Nothing at all.
Mm.
Glengarry, Glen Ross.
Wag the Dog.
Wag the Dog. I mean, just... Okay.
Maybe House of Game... No, I'm thinking of Game of Thrones.
Oh, God. as a director, he directed one of Val Kilmer's most underrated movies, Spartan. That was pretty dang good.
It is good. Oh, also, because we all know how much you love Kevin Costner, he also wrote The Untouchables.
Oh, that's so good.
No, I'm thinking of The Incredibles.
What the hell is wrong with you?
The Incredibles. No, he didn't write The Incredibles.
It's very similar. Like, yeah. Picture The Incredibles in, like, Depression era.
Yeah, same
that's
thing.
That's basically what it is.
Unhandy. Ah, give me...
Yep, they all talk like that. He was the guy that invented talking like that. Hey, she, come on, see? Unhand me, she.
I'll mow you down with my time again, see? Anyway, The Verdict, starring Paul Newman, Charlotte Rampling, Jack Warden, James Mason, Milo O'Shea, Lindsay Krause. Stop me at any point when I'm...
You can stop when you get to Bruce Willis.
Okay, and Bruce.
Oh, God.
Uncredited.
Did you say Jack Warden? I don't remember.
Yes.
Yeah,
yes,
he did. And then Joe Seneca played a kind of pivotal part, and he was actually really good for the small bit he was in it. But that's it.
All right. The verdict on Rotten Tomatoes gets an 88% from critics, only 34 reviews. So there's still, obviously, it's such a long and boring movie. A lot of people.
Yeah, it's a new release. Give it time for.
Yeah, exactly. People turn it off in the middle of it. 88%. Sorry, I'm just trashing this movie. I didn't even watch. 88% from critics, giving it a score of 7.9 out of 10, and an audience score of 88%, giving it a 4.1 out of 5. And the critics' consensus: Paul Newman is at the peak of his powers as an attorney who never lived up to his potential in The Verdict. Supported by David Mamet's crackling script and Sidney Lumet's confident direction. So tell me what you know about The Verdict. Who picked it, Aaron?
Yeah, I did.
Why?
Well, Paul Newman first and foremost, but just the talent involved. I mean, the David Mamet we went through, like we said, there aren't a few high peaks in his career, but Sidney Lumet, I think even you might recognize more of his work. But this, I think, is just one of those movies. I mean, you don't see this a whole lot where it's just a director that likes to just keep it subtle and let the actors do their things. I mean, there's really no flashy directing or acting. I mean, the acting in itself is just subtle. And I just think it's one of the, I don't know. It's like I said at the beginning, it's rock solid in every aspect.
I do recognize some of Sidney Lumet's work, for the record.
I would hope so. He's he's good.
Yeah, he worked with Pacino a lot in his early career too.
What were we gonna say, Shane?
Sorry, I was just gonna say that mentioned the crackling script. That wouldn't be the word I would use to describe it. And that's not to say that it's not very good. To me, the best part about the writing is the subtlety, and I guess the, I don't know if maturity is the right word, but whatever word you want to use for
it's
for
natural
respecting
and
the audience. Yes. Where yes, like Aaron said, it doesn't feel like a script trying to be a movie. It just feels like a script about people, about a person. And they show and don't tell very often. I mean, it respects the audience's intelligence to be able to figure things out based on dialogue. The dialogue is not expository. They don't just spout things to say things. So I wouldn't say it's crackling, because it doesn't have an energy about it, but it's just very, very well done. That's its strong point to me anyways.
Had you seen this before, you or Steve?
I have, yes, because of Bruce Willis.
Oh my god.
I'm not being facetious.
He's sitting there with the remote pausing. There he is.
No, the first time I watched it, like I watched, because I saw it was on Bruce Willis's filmography, and so I watched it, and I'm like, the whole movie I'm watching eagle-eyed, and there he is 30 seconds till the end of the movie. So this was like the first time that I kind of like sat back and watched it, not scouring the background for Bruce Willis. And I liked it. I enjoyed it. That, like I said, it's, I would not argue with anybody that called it boring, because it is slow. It's intentionally, it takes its time. And that's just partly that's the era it was made. It's still early 80s. You know, they took their time making movies back then. That was more prevalent. But also, it's just the script and the story they wanted to tell. It's not a high stakes courtroom drama. It's a character study that just happens to be placed in that world, and it works. It's Paul Newman at a weird stage in his career where it's like one of the first times he seems old and not like, you know, the stud. Yeah. Paul Newman.
I want to talk about that. Paul Newman. They just aged differently back then, because Paul Newman in this movie is the same age-ish as what people like Tom Cruise are right now. And if you put the two side by side, that would not be my guess.
The difference is they let themselves age back
then. Well,
that's
the thing, yeah.
Tom Cruise has not let himself age. A lot of that's not natural. And that's not to say him looking old and feeling old is intentional to the character. But it all works. The writing, Paul Newman's incredible performance, they're spot on about that. He's always good, and this is one of his best. And he carries a movie that otherwise could have been achingly dull, if not for just you hanging on like every, you know, maybe that's just me loving Paul Newman, but hanging on everything that he does in every scene. And it's the camera work that the camera work kind of keeps itself in the background and just does what it is supposed to display everything about the performers and not get in the way and be too flashy. And it all just works to build up this performance, and he carries it.
Yep.
Have
you seen it?
This is the first, no, this is the first time I've seen it. Wouldn't necessarily been a movie that I would have picked or watched, but Paul Newman is fantastic in it. Like Shane said, it's slow, but once you start getting towards that courtroom, the actual case, it starts picking up steam. And Aaron, you had mentioned something about along the lines of Paul Newman arguably being one of the best actors. I don't know if I could argue against you, man. He's pretty much every movie I've seen with him in it. He's fantastic.
I mean, especially I like everything he's in, but I honestly, I like Shane said this was kind of the weird transitional state. I like his older stuff because it wasn't these, like a lot of his younger stuff, it was more stagey the way he delivered lines. And it relied a whole lot on his charisma and good looks. Where this, he's so much more subtle in his older age. Yeah, so
this,
good.
This is the performance is all about subtlety and it's about lingering shots on his face to kind of sell to the audience what's going on in his head and in the story. And he needed to be, like you said, it's not a showy performance. It's not leaning on, because I mean, let's be honest, his character's kind of scummy. And would you have thought in the 70s, 60s, you know, had we been around back then, you know, and you're a Paul Newman fan, would you have thought that he could pull off this character? I wouldn't have. I mean, we obviously have the benefit of hindsight knowing what he's capable of and the range he had, but I would not have guessed based on his previous stuff that he's capable of this kind of scummy, you know, and such a subtle acting and making you root for this guy that just kind of hates himself. Why should we like him when he doesn't kind of deal, you know?
Yeah, definitely a different type of role for him, but it's also one, it's not exactly a new thing, like the kind of crummy guy that finds a way to become, I don't know, more human, care about people other than himself.
That's kind of part of what made it a bit dull is it's not, the general story is not new, but the approach to it is, the approach to center it around his character and make it a character study instead of that just kind of generalized Rocky type story.
And it's not, I don't know, a lot of these movies, it's like you flip a switch and suddenly he becomes a better person. I think it's a lot more of, I mean, because that's the whole movie. Yeah, the courtroom scene is kind of a second thing, but the whole movie is just this guy making himself better. And there's kind of a, I think to me, the best scene and maybe the most pivotal scene where he finally has confidence in his abilities and confidence that he's doing this for the right reasons, not just for the money, is when he finally stands up to the judge in that scene when they take him to the back room. Such a good scene. And I think that's where the movie comes together. And then the ending, I don't know. It's not a lot of these courtroom scenes. What's a court movie we did?
Trial of Chicago 7.
I didn't see that one. I'm thinking specifically it's one with Mike's favorite actor.
Which one? Edward Norton or
Edward Norton? Yeah, Edward Norton.
Yeah, it was one with Richard Gere. I can't remember
just these courtrooms. Yes, I can't think of the name of it right now, but yes, that's the one. Richard Gere and Edward Norton. But in these court movies, everything's so over the top and absurd, and it wasn't that. I mean, even his closing statement wasn't this big over the top theatrical thing. And that's, I think that so was good, better for it.
Talking into about him
primal,
or your
primal fear.
Sorry. Primal fear. That's the one. God, that was a goofy court scene.
To hammer your point home that it's not about the court proceedings. David Mamet's initial script did not, it was called The Verdict. It literally did not have a verdict in it. It didn't, the outcome of the trial wasn't in there because it wasn't important. It was about the character. It had the case was just the catalyst for him changing his ways and becoming a better person. So the trial literally didn't matter in the original script, but the producers didn't like that and made them put it in there. But yeah, I agree with you. It's better for it. It's about the character, and the courtroom stuff is interesting enough.
Yep.
If there wouldn't have been a verdict in this movie, would you guys hated it more, or liked it more or liked it less? Let's say that.
I think the verdict helps. And I think the fact that, yes, you get a verdict, but you don't, there's no final like dollar amount, settlement amount that they reveal. But like Shane said, the whole point of it is this character's transformation. Yeah. And the way he looked walking out of that courtroom, it's like he's kind of redeemed himself.
Yeah, it wouldn't. I don't think it would have made it worse. I think it, because to me, the like Aaron said, his look in the courtroom, and then his just kind of the first time that he's almost content and happy when he's sitting there in his office, still alone, still drinking, but not just disgusted with himself. That scene is more important than the verdict to me, and it still would have had that. So I think it would have been fine. I mean, I think it's nice to have closure for the audience. I get why, but I don't think it would have hurt it in the least bit, because it didn't matter as far as that character was concerned.
I was also, I hadn't seen this in a while, but I was also kind of upset-ish about the Charlotte Rampling's character. I can't remember her name.
Laura.
I was upset because, like, man, they're going to really shoehorn this romance side of it into this movie that doesn't need it. But then we get this twist in the middle of it that really...
I did not expect that.
Yeah.
And then I did not expect him to slap her. Holy cow.
He just straight up domestic violence her in the bar.
Well, I mean,
I did expect that.
Different times,
Still he is not straight up like
still a scumbag. I mean, that's the thing is, we're talking about how he changed. This wasn't your typical Hollywood, like, oh, he's the white knight now. Like, he still drinks. He just, not 2 days ago, hit a woman.
He'll still like, go to that dude same is not bar every a day.
Good person. He's just happy with himself and a better person. Just not a
great person. I don't even think... some of it he's happy with himself because finally he did the right thing for once and he stuck to his guns. But I think he's happy, and this maybe this is why we needed the verdict, because part of the whole thing is he expects people, almost kind of naive, but he expects people to do the right thing and make the right decision. And this whole movie is just scummy people doing scummy things to hide what they've done. And the jury makes the right call.
And, it's
and I
him,
think that's part of it.
It's him finally finding the balls to do something about it. Because we found out that his basically life and career was destroyed because he was unwilling to stand up to them. And, it was this whole situation. But and then he's just basically a defeated person. Not only does he hate himself and his job, but it's just because he's given up, because he's in his mind, he's got no chance. What's the point? Everybody's bad. The world is shit. Why should I try? And it's him finding that spark again is not necessarily him becoming a better person, but just him finding that spark to try to be decent and do the right thing.
Yep.
Honestly, I wish he would have confronted her and not hit her. I think that would have been a better.
Yep. It would have been a stronger statement.
Yeah. Because that would have fit the theme more and him changing. And
I, you know what should have happened, in my opinion, is because we just don't need that scene where he confronts her at the bar. Just the scene at the end when he sees her
telephone
and turns away, and then she tries to call him and he just ignores it.
Yeah, I agree. I think not only because of what it shows, which is awful, but that scene itself just I didn't like. And again, it's because of what he does. But it's also just I didn't like it in the context of where this character's going.
All right. So question for you. I think everybody in this movie, as far as acting, is great. Who had the best supporting part? Jack Warden, his friend, James Mason, the other attorney, or Charlotte Rampling?
Don't forget the judge. The judge, I can't think of his name now.
Yeah.
He was
Milo
so good.
O'Shea.
Yeah, Milo O'Shea. Very good. Very, very good. Across the board, the supporting acting was incredible.
Joe Seneca, the doctor.
Yes, very good. He is probably my favorite. His character, just his demeanor and the way he speaks and the way he carries himself and the way he he literally is like the only person in the movie that's all about doing the right thing. He was just like this, I don't know, he's like a paragon in this just kind of crappy universe. I loved him. His character is probably my favorite.
That scene, though, it's like they tear him apart and they find these loopholes to make him the bad guy. And the whole movie just makes you feel like, oh, freaking lawyers.
But his demeanor while they do that, he just answers truthfully, politely.
Yeah, he's got the confidence that Paul Newman's character doesn't.
Yeah, he's incredible. I loved his character. So that's my answer, is him.
For me, Warden and Milo O'Shea were fantastic, but for me, it has to be James Mason as opposing attorney.
He was very good.
I mean, Paul Newman's character is scuzzy in this movie, but like James Mason kind of like
puts him to shame. Like
everything that happens, you're like, God, he's just a terrible person.
And again, the perfect combination of like he's every aspect of a film villain that you want, but he does it. He and the writing.
He explains it throughout the movie. It's about winning. It's not about feeling right at the end of the day. It's about winning for him. So like, he will do anything to win, and it kind of gets to that like, ooh, you're kind of a dirty character. Yeah,
and he just does it as a real person. Yeah. That it's not like this, you know, cackling villain, you know, evil laugh type. No, he's just a real person who has different morals and values than you. They just happen to be bad in I guess the normal sense of that word. I mean, but he's good at it. He's a damn good lawyer.
One of the scenes I wanted to bring up was when they had one of the doctors talking to him, like all the lawyers or whatever. And he's like, well, he did this and did that. And they're like, explaining to him.
The prepping for him to take the stand.
Prep is like just that whole scene. You're like,
oh, great. Oh, yeah. That reminded me of Whiplash. When like his where he's teaching him, but being just a complete asshole about it. But like, that's what that guy needs. And he's like, it reminded me of some of those scenes in that movie. That was an incredible scene.
Yeah. And that's, again, James Mason has that rival lawyer. He's got, I don't know if it's because he's an old British guy, but man, he, without raising his voice, he's got such a presence in this movie. Fantastic. Yeah. I think the other, I don't remember who, I'm trying to find the actress, and she had a small part, but
Caitlin Price? Costello?
Yes. Costello Price. Caitlin Costello. Yes. Lindsay Krause was the actress. She was in there, what, 10, 15 minutes?
If that.
And it was an impactful, pivotal scene, and it was fantastic. I mean, it was great. And that's part of why you're like, You're trying to weigh the legal argument with God, what these people did, and they're trying to cover it up, and nobody wants to be accountable. And it's like,
even on top of her, you have James Mason Concannon standing right in front of her. Like, he's shocked that she had put this one. And then he's like, you could see the wheels turning for a little bit. And then he just starts like firing questions at her about if she lied and this and that. I was like, man.
Because you could tell he was caught off guard, but recovered so fast and went back into just killer shark mode.
That's the thing. It's like when Galvin, Newman's character, calls her to the stand, and you're like, ha, they won. Because that entire, the doctor, the lawyer, everybody was just like, oh, crap. And then he finds a way to use the legal system against it. And it's just devastating. But like I said,
and genius,
but the jurors make the right call.
Yeah. One issue that I want to bring up, this takes place in Boston, and Paul Newman makes zero attempt to even resemble a Boston accent.
You don't know if he's from Boston. I haven't read the book.
And that was my thinking too. Yeah. I don't know.
He came to Boston when he married his ex-wife to become part of what it was, her dad's firm or her brother's firm, whatever it was. But I thought that too. It really, nobody had a thick Boston accent, well, except maybe the brother of the.
And some of it was acceptable because a lot of them were foreign. I mean, the judge was Irish, heavy Irish accent. All right. The one you were just talking about that took the stand. I couldn't place her accent. The villainous attorney, if you will, was English or something like that. So most of them were, a lot of them weren't from Boston. Hell, the main female was not, she was British, I think. So a lot of the main players were not even American enough to you know, their characters weren't from America, so they weren't doing a Boston accent.
Yeah, I don't know if it would have been worth attempting the.
Okay, Boston. So back to our this or that. How much better would this have been with Mark Wahlberg in the Paul Newman role?
I've been sitting here silently. I can't go on like this.
I could just hear him like, "What?
No! Objection!"
Oh my God!
Are we ready to rate this?
Yep. I think we are.
Okay.
Aaron, you want to go first or last?
I can start it off. It doesn't matter to me. I will give this, like I said, I think every part of this, and this is my kind of movie. I know it's slower, but it's just the characters are at the forefront and the talent involved in telling the story is as good as it gets at the time it was made. And I give it an 8. I mean, it's just rock solid. It's an interesting enough story. It unfolds in a way that's interesting, and it's Paul Newman, and every bit of supporting cast is fantastic. And I would recommend it. Like I said, I like Paul Newman's older work. It's more subtle. This might be a top three performance of his
film, so. His newer work where he is older.
His work as an older actor.
Yes.
Is fantastic. So I give it an 8.
All right.
I'll go. Aaron, I give you a lot of crap for liking movies like this, but when I sit down and end up watching a movie like this, I end up enjoying it just as much as you do. Paul Newman is fantastic in this. So is James Mason and any of the supporting characters. I'm also going to give it an 8. I really enjoyed it.
Solid, Jake.
All right, I'm going to give it, it would be an 8, but it gets 0.25 for Bruce Willis in the background, so 8.25. Bruce Willis really sold his role, and he very nearly outshone Paul Newman in his own movie. It was close.
I hate you?
No, I mean, it's like they all said, it's everyone at the top of their game. The writing is brilliant. The directing is amazing without being showy. All of it is without being showy. The writing, the directing, the acting, it's all, they were all on the same page of what they wanted it to be, and it all meshed. It was a very good movie. My issues are with its pacing. It does take its time, and it could have progressed a little quicker. But the overall movie is very good.
Solid. So final score of 8. 0.09 cumulatively.
Wait, what?
B plus?
8.09.
What'd Shane give it? I thought he gave it
8.25.
Oh, okay.
He got 2.25 for Bruce Willis.
Oh, for Bruce Willis's. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Oh, my God.
Yep. So that is a B plus. Interestingly enough, out of the 385 movies that we have reviewed, I mean, this being the 385th, only one other movie has gotten an 8.09. That's rare to find. And that movie, Bullet. This or Bullet?
Bullet.
I go Verdict.
See, no. Okay, let me try to sell you, though. That's better.
Listen, I think... all right, let me find it. Because I'm pretty sure I probably gave it right around the same thing. I did. I gave Bullet a 7.75. So
yeah, you did.
I mean, that's Steve McQueen, again, top of his game. But I just find this a more interesting movie.
Yeah.
Didn't see Paul Newman chasing anybody around in a 69 Mustang. Just saying. Yeah,
losing 40 hubcaps in the process of the chase.
Okay, so this, we're going to do some more this or that. This or Imitation Game.
Oh, God, this. Yes.
This or Inception.
This 12 times.
This or Us.
This.
This or Bridge of Spies.
Haven't seen it.
I probably know that.
This or Ready or Not.
This is a better movie. That is immensely more rewatchable.
Agreed.
This or Taxi Driver.
Taxi Driver.
I'd still probably go this.
This or The Green Book.
This.
I haven't seen it.
This or Hacksaw Ridge.
This. Hacksaw Ridge, just because it has action.
This or The Babadook.
Ooh, probably this.
This
or Star Trek.
Oh.
2009, I'm assuming. Did we do the first one?
Yeah, the first one with Pine.
One's fun enough that I might pick that.
Yeah, that's got some rewatchability to it. I still am not a big J.J. Abrams fan.
Big Chris Pine fan, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
I don't know what you mean.
I would do him.
This or the Bad Times at the El Royale.
And only because this isn't, I love his performance in this, but this isn't my favorite Paul Newman movie. I would pick that. It's very fun.
Yeah. And Aaron only picks that because of John Hamm.
Yeah, John Hamm greater than sign Paul Newman.
That's funny. All right, last one we do, this or The Thing.
The Thing.
Yep.
That's what I kind of figured, even though it's not rated that much higher on our
I don't
list.
Know how. Who rated it and who do I hit?
Me.
Yep.
Well, okay, to be fair,
Did you watch the
2011 one?
I didn't even give it the lowest score.
Who did?
Brand, I believe.
Oh, I'm punching him in his face.
I gave it an 8. Brand gave it a 7.75.
What the hell?
And Aaron only gave it an 8.5.
What?
I did give it a 9, though, so you have to make out with Matt.
All right. As long as I can punch everyone else, I'll take that deal.
Perfect. All right, guys. So 8.09 for the verdict. You can find our other episodes and the rest of our information about our podcast at moviereviewcrew.com. Send us an email at podcast@moviereviewcrew.com. Steve, looks like you're the pick next week. Ooh. Anything you have up and ready to go?
No, it's surprising. You caught me off guard. I will have to get back to you.
Steve just texted me. Said he picked Avengement starring Scott Adkins. It's on Netflix. We can all watch it for free.
All right, so that about wraps up the show. Good God. He definitely did not pick that. No. Anything else, gentlemen?
I think that's it.
That's it.
All right, someone in the show.
Tell your friends. Yeah, tell them.
Let's go, but inconspicuously. Through the window.
Lady, I'm afraid I'm going to have to ask you to leave the store.
Okay, that's it. Screw you guys. I'm going home.
Game over, man. Game over. What are we going to do now? What are we going to do?
Good night and good luck.
Thanks for listening to another episode of Nothing But Real Reviews and More. Remember to like us on Twitter and Facebook and subscribe and rate on iTunes.
You still here? It's over. Go home. Go.